Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Now, majority of WordPress users live in the WordPress dashboard and hardly know about the magical place called the database that stores all the data of posts, pages, image URLs, comments, and so on. Gordon Orlich explains the WordPress database basics, like how to access the database, why database size becomes abnormally big, how to trim down database size by optimization, why database backup is important, and much more. This is episode number 33 of the podcast, Understanding WordPress Database for Faster Websites with Gordon Orlich. Before we begin, if you've been enjoying this podcast, please do consider leaving a 5-star review over at iTunes. Just head over to smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. And now, let's begin the episode. Okay, so today we have Gordon Orlich on the show. He is deep into WordPress. He makes a lot of WordPress products, plugins, and also makes WordPress websites. So let's welcome Gordon on the show. Hi, Gordon. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me. Pretty good.
So before we get on with the heavy loaded topic of WordPress database, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Sure. I run a company called Web Factory. We specialize in WordPress. If it's not WordPress, we don't touch it. It's been like that for 10 years. It's actually going to be 10 years in August this year. Time flew by. I don't know how, 10 years. So in internet life, that's like a century. In normal years, that's just 10 years. So we started out with basically doing client sites, your regular, can you do me this, can you do me that? But soon afterward, we started selling plugins, initially on Code Canyon and then themes on ThemeForest. But eventually we branched out into selling plugins on our own. And we switched from doing, let's call them regular websites for clients, to doing white label stuff, mostly plugins that were sold on JVZoo and similar sites. These days, we rarely touch any client work. When we get approached by clients, it really has to be something that's interesting for us. That's the main thing, how I decide if we're going to do something or not. And we're switching to SaaSes, but again, WordPress-based. So, WordPress, everything revolves around it.
WordPress plus SaaS. That's more interesting, I guess, right?
It is.
Okay, now let's talk about another topic, which may not be that interesting for an average WordPress user, but it's very important, which is database, WordPress database. Now, majority of new people who come in the WordPress ecosystem, they hardly know about database that's powering their WordPress website because they only live in the WordPress dashboard, right? And thanks to one-click WordPress installs, more and more people are, unfamiliar with the concept of WordPress database. And when they get to know that every action they're taking in WordPress dashboard actually goes back and transmits data to your database and comes back. Now, this may sound a little complicated. So how would you explain this WordPress and WordPress database to a person who's new to WordPress ecosystem?
So as you said, most beginners and basically I would say most users in general never touch their database directly. They interact with the database through WordPress by basically doing anything in the dashboard by adding a post, editing a post, deleting the post. WordPress interacts with a database in their name. So if you delete a post, the WordPress will delete that post in a database. So what the database is, it's a means to save data in an organized manner. A database is comprised of database tables. In WordPress case, that would be 12 standard database tables. So let's say you have one big box, that's your database. And inside that box, you have 12 smaller boxes, which represent the WordPress tables. You don't have to interact with the database directly, but you definitely can. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, because I still remember in early days, we have to open the WordPress config file and add the database name, username, password. You know, those
That's
were like
right.
very early days. And as and when we wanted to change the name of the database, like after the manual migration, we'll just open the wp-config file and again input the new database name and username. Now, this is like the olden days. Now, in case if someone has to change the database username or database name itself, does he has to do the same routine, or there's a simpler user interface, maybe in the form of a plugin that runs within a dashboard, or maybe from WordPress hosting panel?
So just to make a thing clear, your database is yours only.
Yeah.
That's why WordPress has to have a username, database name, password in order to connect to the database. Otherwise, how would it know which database to connect to?
Yeah.
Now, when you use the one-click install, everything gets handled automatically for you, which is absolutely great because you don't have to type anything in. Now, in case you need to switch the database or perhaps change the password or change the username, basically anything in order to connect to it, you can use a plugin. It's called the WP Config Editor. And it has these nice little tabs where you can configure basically anything that you can edit in the config file. But one of those tabs is strictly for the database. Mm-hmm. You have your username, password, database name. You just type in a new setting, click save. It writes to the file, and you're done. Or you can obviously FTP to your site, find the wp-config.php, and edit the file manually.
Cool.
Which you should not be doing if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's even more cooler way to tell it, because the site will crash and hey, what happened?
You will not lose any data.
Yeah, but the connection will be lost.
No data is lost. To make clear, you never issued a command delete something in database.
Yeah.
What happened is that WordPress is no longer able to connect to that database. So don't freak out, undo the change, everything's going to be okay.
Okay, now let's talk about the database bloat. Just like we drive car and it needs regular maintenance, and you know, most people don't know about database, they really don't know about the fact that database does get bloated. Now, most of us are like trigger happy people. We'll install themes, we'll install different plugins just to test it. And when we don't like it, we disable it. Sometimes we delete it. Sometimes we just keep the plugins disabled. And there are a lot of notorious plugins who, even after deleting, they would not delete their own tables from the database.
That's
and then
right.
You have a fatter database that is not serving any purpose to you. What's your take on this? Like, is it a rampant problem in WordPress ecosystem?
A polite thing that any plugin should do is clean up after itself.
But I've seen a lot of plugins that don't do that, right?
I would say that the majority doesn't.
Yep.
Now, there are reasons for that. The first reason is that the coder is just lazy. The second, I'm not going to write that code, screw it. So you just don't write that code and all of that bloat stays in. The second reason is that coders believe that they shouldn't automatically delete anything because the user didn't explicitly say, should you, could you, would you delete this thing for me? What that translates into is that, okay, I install a plugin, I do something, then I uninstall it. The data stays in the database. Next time I install that plugin, so I install it again, the data will be waiting for me. Now the question is, do I want this behavior or not? It depends. On one hand, I want my database clean, lean, and working fast. On the other hand, I don't want people deleting my data, you know, willy-nilly, nobody's asking me anything. However, in my personal opinion, if I click delete plugin, so not deactivate, but delete, I think that everything should be wiped clean.
Yep. Yeah.
Custom tables and everything. Now, when we talk about bloat, there's two things we have to have in mind. First is the bloat that's generated by WordPress itself.
Yeah.
Now, it's not actually bloat, but it's data that you most probably don't need.
Temporary data.
So, post revisions, yeah. For instance.
Spam files.
That's right. So as time goes by, months go by, you get 1, 2, 10,000 entries in the database that you really don't need. Because if you already published a post and you have 100 revisions, what are you going to do with 100 revisions? Now, WordPress does clean those things at a certain pace. So if you have a small site and only a few posts, there's not going to be that much revisions. But if you have a huge site, thousands of posts, hundreds of authors working simultaneously, there's going to be a lot of revisions and the database is going to grow and eventually slow down. The other type of bloat is the bloat that plugins and themes bring along with them. Some of that data goes into the 12 default WordPress tables. That gets hard to clean because just by looking at a table record, at a table row, I can't be 100% certain if I can delete that row or not. Sometimes you can, but in most cases, you just don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is custom tables. For instance,
WooCommerce.
Let's say you install a Yoast plugin,
yeah.
And it has a log for something. So for that log, it will create a custom database table that will be the 13th or the 14th or the 15th. That should get deleted once the plugin is deleted. And you can always safely remove those custom tables if you have already removed the plugin that created that table.
Does this deleting Yoast plugin deletes its table? I doubt.
I
seriously
sure.
doubt that.
Yeah.
Because I've only seen one or two plugins that gives you an explicit option. Like once you delete a plugin or while you are in a process of deleting a plugin, they will give you a small check mark that you want to delete the data from the database itself. I think this
That's
should
right.
be a normal default behavior. If you are not going to by default deleting data on deletion of a plugin, at least give an option where user can actually, you know, opt in. At least for those people who actually know what database is, they can actually opt in and delete the data, especially in the cases of a plugin that makes extra tables other than the default WordPress tables, because that's adding another building to the society, which you don't actually need it.
Yeah. And if you remove the plugin, then you obviously don't need it. Yeah.
Exactly. Because like in case of Yoast also, like if you're removing Yoast and you, obviously if you're removing Yoast, you're most likely installing some other, you know, SEO plugin.
That's right.
So that Yoast building is already there and you've constructed another building.
Yeah, that is correct. And WordPress does not have any built-in tools to combat that issue. So you either have to manually connect to the database and clean it or use a plugin.
And what is the best way of, you know, testing themes and plugins? Just have a separate dev install rather than, you know, making your main site as a playground.
Well, any work on a production site is dangerous. And I would obviously never recommend it, because if the site is live and you have visitors, whatever you do can backfire. It's one of those things in life, oh, it's going to be 5 minutes. And then 5 hours later, you're still coding and you're, you know, pulling backups and the site's not up. And it's not a good situation.
You're calling it as a dangerous. It's like most adventurous thing, like most of the users do.
They love to do it, yeah, but if the site is really important to you, it's your business site, just don't do it. Because a couple of times it will work, but the next time you do it, you're going to, you know, kill something, and then it's going to be a problem. So if you're going to test something, you need a test installation where if you just need to wipe everything, you wipe everything and, you know, no harm done. So you can either run a local installation. There's a bunch of software that enables you to install Apache, PHP, and MySQL on a local machine. Or if you think that's overly complicated, you can, most hosting providers
you can do it
will
on a
give you
subdomain.
A subdomain, or you can clone that installation, or there's a lot of options going on.
I'm just curious, is there any plugin that a person can install within a WordPress data dashboard and see which all tables are there within my dashboard and help them identify that this table belongs to this plugin?
To identify to which plugin the table belongs to, no, but yeah, they would tell you what table is default WordPress and what table is a custom one.
Okay, because I know Yoast makes the table with Yoast SEO as the name, so that's understandable, but majority plugins don't do that way. Like they have their own.
They use a short prefix or something that's not, that obvious. That is true. Yeah.
Okay, and now let's talk about, you know, accessing the database. Now, obviously, it doesn't come as a surprise since most people don't know what database is. So accessing database is out of the question. Now, most people who know database, they would access it via cPanel, MyPHP admin. And obviously, when you log into cPanel, there are enough options thrown at you that average person gets confused and say, let's hire someone and let's get on with it. I can't figure it out. So besides, you know, using the cPanel option of MyPHP admin, are there less fearful ways to access WordPress database?
There are better ways. However, every other option besides cPanel has steps that you need to take before you can access the database. Now, so you're logged in into the cPanel. You enter your username and password, and you have all these icons.
Yeah.
When you click the PHP MyAdmin, what cPanel does, it will log you in to your database for you. So there is a username and password involved. It's just that cPanel does this step for you. That's why you don't have to enter the username and password. And in front of you on the left-hand side in the sidebar, you're going to see all of the databases and all of the tables, and you can do things with it. Now, for me personally, PHP MyAdmin is ugly as hell. The interface is like 20-something years old, and it really does show. Now, I'm not saying it's not working. I'm not saying it's a bad piece of software. It's a great piece of software, but it looks the way it looks. And it definitely can be intimidating. Now, if you want to step away from PHP MyAdmin, there are a lot of desktop applications for Mac and for PC that basically offer the same functionality, but they look better and they feel better. In order to connect to the database using these tools, you need to know the database name, the username, password, the database host, and the port name, usually.
Yeah.
That's a lot of things. And by default, and this is a security measure, you're not allowed to connect to the cPanel database from outside. Now, when I say outside, it means from a different IP. And obviously, your computer will have a different IP than the server. So you first have to clear your IP so that it's whitelisted, so that it can connect, and then you can proceed. So for beginners, I would suggest cPanel, PHP MyAdmin.
Okay.
It's going to be a lot simpler because there's no connections to debug. You just click and bam, you're in there.
And if you can't even do that, hire an expert, right?
Again, avoid any buttons that say delete, drop, trash.
Especially drop. Like, it's like, I just dropped it, but you don't know what you dropped it. It's like almost it's gone.
Truncate as well. Empty. So anything that implies any deleting action, just don't push it. Otherwise, you're going to be okay. I mean, you're just looking at things.
Okay, so we've talked about what is database, how you can make your database fat. Now let's talk about how you can make it slim. So Database optimization is very important. How do you explain this to a new user who does not know the importance of an optimized database?
So you're in your house and you have a shelf full of books.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, your wife organized books alphabetically. But you're a lazy person. And each time you take a book, you just randomly return it. So after a month, the books are on the shelf, but they're no longer in an alphabetical order. It's just random. And there's holes and you put other stuff on the shelf. It's just a mess. So what we need to do, or your wife, unfortunately, because you're lazy.
Does this happen with you?
No, she would beat me. So there's,
that's
you have
optimization.
To reorganize. You need, it is. So you need to reorganize your books on the shelf again, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, the next time you need a book that starts with a B, you know it's going to be the first or the second book. So this is what happens in a database table. As you read, write, edit, and delete, stuff gets moved around, fragmented. When you optimize the database, it freezes for a second or two, and all the data gets written in such a way that you can properly access it, and access it much faster than you did that everything was randomized.
Okay.
So really, that's it. And nothing gets deleted yeah. when you optimize a database. However, if you have a really huge database, optimization can take 5 minutes or 5 hours. So it's again a process that involves making a backup first.
Yeah,
however, if
that was
you have
my
a
next
side
question. Like, so before you start the database optimization, it's important to take backup. Like one would be taking the backup of your whole website. Like we have all kinds of tools, like with premium hostings, like WordPress Engine, etc. They will backup the whole thing, or just take the backup of your database via some backup plugin. And plus you happen to be the creator of WP Reset, which actually helps you save a screenshot or a snapshot of your database and do make changes and then restore it. So there are a lot of options here. Like which one would you recommend for a user to, you know, back up the database before starting with the
optimization? First of all, you should have a database plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making backups on a random date, on a random Tuesday, every 5 months, that's not a backup. That's just you remembering, oh shit, I should be doing this. I really don't recommend that, because when you lose data for the first time, and at some point you will lose data, it's going to be too late. You know, everybody's telling you backup, 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 and you're not listening because you're thinking it's not going to happen to me. Maybe not today. But again, backup, backup, backup. So if you have a good backup plan in place, that would be, let's say, backup happens once a day, I would recommend that at a bare minimum. Then you can maybe play around with your site, because you know you can always revert to something that's a maximum 24 hours old.
Mm-hmm.
So that is good. If you don't have a backup plan in place, first make a backup plan. cPanel has the button. You click the button, things get zipped, saved on your computer. Or if you're using a decent web host, they do make backups on their own. But don't rely on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard to transfer a backup to your backup drive or Dropbox or Google Drive. Whatever, you should have backups in multiple places, because if the backups on the host fails, on the hosting provider, I mean, you can be angry at them, but that's not gonna get your site back.
Yeah.
So you should be responsible for your own data, because in the end, it's your data, it's your site, it's, you know, you make a living out of it. So backup, backup, backup.
Okay, so let's get on with the optimization of database. Now, I use WP Optimize, WP Sweep. Like these are like few go-to plugins to optimize your database within WordPress dashboard. Which is your recommended ways, options, plugins to optimize database?
I use the optimizer as well. If you look at the code for most of those plugins, it's nearly identical because basically they don't optimize. MySQL optimizes. They just ran one command. It's actually optimize. So they just provide an interface so you don't have to go into the database itself. They give you a button, you click, and you wait a few seconds, and things happen. So if you have a small site, it will take less than a second. If you have a huge site with, gigabytes in the database, it can take a few minutes. And while the optimization is happening, the site will, well, in it won't go down, but some parts of the database will not be available while the optimization is happening.
Okay, and how often should you, a user optimize the database? Is it like week, month, or just wake up and do any day?
On a smaller site with like 100 posts and let's say one new post a week, once a month is really okay.
Okay.
More than enough.
And this is a very common, problem that a lot of people post. Like, I have a small website, my database is running in gigs, not MBs. What's the problem?
Well, first of all, that's a good question. Something's wrong. That's not a number you
Because
should be seeing.
if we install fresh WordPress install, what is the database size of that 12 tables? I think in hardly few MBs, right?
Maybe, yeah, tops. Because you're basically an empty
Shell.
WordPress installation has only a few database rows, so nearly empty. And any like site with posts in the counts of hundreds should not be having a database in gigabytes. You should be looking at 50 megabytes, maybe 100. So the first step in resolving this problem is installing a plugin that can show you your tables and the size of each table. Or you can go into phpMyAdmin and immediately you'll actually cPanel will show you the size of the database. It won't break it down to tables. If you want to see by table, you need to open phpMyAdmin. And then you'll see how many records each table has and what's the size of each table. Now, here comes the problem. If you're a developer, you already know, the numbers and how should things look. Now, first and foremost, if your table has gigabytes, there are only two reasons for it. One, you need to optimize it because it doesn't actually have gigabytes, but it's just an error in counting. So you need to optimize and maybe it will go down to 100 megabytes. Reason number two, that table has a million rows or 100,000 rows, a lot of rows. So if you see a table with a 10,000 or 50,000 rows, that's the one that you should be looking at. If it's one of the default WordPress tables, do not delete anything manually. So don't go into the table clicking, I don't need this, and I don't need this, and I don't need that. Please don't do that. Just don't. For custom tables, let's say from Yoast or a redirect, you have the redirection plugin, and then it has its own log, and it's a huge log. I would first recommend that you go into that plugin and find an option that says delete log, prune log, make log smaller, clean log, any button like that, so that the plugin will interact with the table and make it smaller. If that plugin doesn't exist, then you're gonna have to delete on your own. Either try deleting the plugin, hoping that it will delete the table. Probably not, yeah. So if that doesn't happen, then you either have to truncate the table, which means deleting all records, or you have to drop the table, which means deleting the data and the table. Again, please make a backup because we're all quick on the delete button, but once you delete, there's no undo unless you have a backup.
Okay, so what about the website who genuinely have a database that's running in size gigs and all that? Like, we often hear a problem that when you have a big database and big website, migrating that website to a new host is kind of a very painful because a lot of migration plugins fail in handling that big data. Have you come across the task of moving a big, really big website? And if you have, what are the recommended methods of transferring such a big website?
If it's a really big website, if you're talking about gigabytes, then I always recommend server to server transfer.
Okay.
So what most people do is you would log into your old website, you would install, let's say, a backup or a transfer plugin, and it would first zip all your files, and you would download that to your computer. Then you go to the new website, you install the same plugin, and you tell it that you want to restore or move the file from the zip that you have, and then you upload the zip file from your computer to the new website. Now, you're doing downloading and uploading. If you do a server-to-server transfer, there's no middleman. And then it doesn't really matter if it's a 1 gig file or a 10 gig file. It's much faster, much smoother. Now, you usually can't do this if you're paying $5 a month for your hosting. I'm sorry, yeah. But if you have a large website and you're paying like $100 a month, then you call support and tell them, I want to do this, and they do it for you. Because that's the proper way to do things, and it's going to be fast and smooth, and everything's going to, be
And
okay.
in your experience, which migration plugins handle bigger website migration easily? Among there are a lot of like all-in-one migration. Is there this duplicate or there are many others?
I have to say that I use Updraft.
Updraft, okay.
Updraft. I've never had issues with it. And it served me well for websites that had easily half a gigabyte of data in total. Because you can choose the option to break it down to the database, plugins, themes, WP, upload folder, etc. So then you have smaller zips, and then, there shouldn't be any problems with that.
Awesome. Now let's switch gears and get into your toolbox. So, which are your five current favorite tools that power your online business?
Zapier,
Awesome.
definitely.
And you use it for?
Everything. I actually, if something needs getting done, first I think, can we make a Zap? I really like it because it does give you the power to connect anything to anything. And if you throw in a few lines of code, which you can actually do in Zapier, you can do wonders. So I really like it. I really do like it, and my whole team uses it, and we obviously pay for it. It pushes things.
More than two zaps, you more than two jumps, you got to pay, right? And nothing
Yeah.
happens in two jumps, I know that.
So I really like that tool. Most people are afraid of it because when somebody asks you, what can you do with that tool? And your answer is everything, that's a really bad answer. No, what does that mean, everything? It can't cook coffee, obviously. So then people describe it as an automation tool. That again is not really an answer. My answer to what a Zap does is if you ever did anything that you had to repeat more than 3 times, you can
Automatic.
teach Zapier how to do it for you instantly, painlessly, and you never have to touch that again. So I don't know, let's see, what do we use it for? If something happens to any of our applications or websites or anything, all of the logs go into Zapier, and then it sees who's on call in my company, so who's awake, And depending on that, it sends a phone notification so that only the person who's awake should get that notification. Now, I'm sure that that can be achieved with 100 other tools, but we use Zapier.
And it's like a universal hub for you because you just don't use it for this thing. You use it for a lot of other things as well.
Yeah. I mean, the usual things that people do is they get a new email subscriber and then they push it into five different services or five different lists and stuff like that. So again, something that you would be doing manually, copy pasting, blah, blah, blah. Zap does it for you in a second. What else do we use? We use Help Scout for managing all of our emails. We used to do it for support only, but now we've switched and we use it for everything. What differentiates Help Scout from other similar platforms is it has very, very little amount of options. When I say that, it sounds bad, like nobody wants anything with, you know,
less options.
But actually, the options that it does have are the ones that you need. There's no bloat. Hence, when you have a toolbar, it doesn't have 79 buttons. It only have 5 buttons. Buttons that you actually need and use. That way, you're faster, you're more focused, and you get things done. They're not a CRM. They're not a selling tool. They handle emails. So they're really, you know, focused at what they do, which is great. And that's why we use them. There are a lot of competing apps or SaaSes, but they tend to push everything in there and you end up with this bloated system. I don't like that. I do understand that it costs more to have 5 different systems doing 5 things, but I'm just not a fan of keeping, you know, all of your eggs in one basket because the user experience tends to be very bad then. And everything's crammed into one place. So kudos for Help Scout, you know, keeping things clean. What else do we use? Dropbox. We destroy it. It's like, you know, it's terabytes of data going back and forth and it works wonders. I don't recall the last time when something wasn't working right. It's really thumbs up. I know it costs money, and when you add everything up, it's thousands of dollars a year. But for Dropbox, I would say give them that 100 or 200 bucks. It's really worth the money. What else do we use? Grammarly.
That's universal.
They get better and better with each iteration. And I love the new settings when you set what kind of a text is it, what kind of a mood you want to achieve. So for me personally, it's not that it corrects my English. It's the fact that it teaches me something.
Exactly.
So after a while, you stop doing the mistakes.
I used to make a lot of mistakes. Like when I used to write, there are a lot of things. Like I always used to forget adding A in front of lot, and now I add it myself because Grammarly has taught me doing that all the time.
Yeah, and the great thing is it's available whenever you type something, it's already, you know, checking the text, so you don't have to open a new window or anything. So that's great. It's fast and it's far beyond what people think. It's just gonna underline if I make a spelling error. That's just 5% of what it does. And you can check if the text is unique. So if you have authors sending in text, so you can check if it's unique. And again, you can collaborate if you're a team. And they actually have a paid for service if you want a human to proofread your text. Everything it's in one interface. So that's great. I mean, I really do like that. So out of tools, that's mostly it.
And which is your recommended web hosting service? Like what do you use for to power your websites?
We use SiteGround exclusively.
Wow, same here. But I guess you would be on a BPS server, right?
We have like five or six services active. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
because
each time there's a Black Friday deal, I click again.
as such, SiteGround provides you a lot of discount when you're when you're renewing it for more than 1 year. Like I think they provide, because I recently renewed my plan for 3 years because they were giving me more discount, and I've been happy with SiteGround. It works better than most. It gives you best bang for your buck, to be honest, the best value.
Support is great.
Yeah.
They're always online, and the people you talk to really do know what you're talking
Exactly. That's
about.
why, like, those are technical people. They are not like customer support people who will just talk about, give me your phone number, this and that. They actually know the technical part. So if you tell them FTP, they know what FTP is.
Yeah, they're really good. No downtime, everything is great. I mean, I'm really satisfied. It's not the cheapest, obviously, but I'm not going for the cheapest. So,
Yeah, it's not the cheapest, but it's not the expensive.
no, it's not
Honest,
expensive.
yeah,
No.
obviously it's not cheapest in terms of like Bluehost and that kind of stuff. Like,
GoDaddy.
no, I don't need that daddy to be. I stay away from it. Okay, so which is your recommended page builder if you use one?
We actually use all of them as they come in, with a theme or with a project. If I had to personally choose, I would go with the Elementor's UI. It's not that different from Beaver or anything else, but I just personally prefer it.
Yeah,
Because in the end, most builders have 90% of functions are the same. So it's that 10% of how they finish things up and how the UI looks and stuff like that. But I don't know, with Gutenberg coming along, maybe.
it's still kind of buggy, to be honest. I actually try Gutenberg every 10 days to see where it is. Like, it's still not. It's still kind of a baby, to be honest.
It's a baby, that's it. You need weeks and hours and years of experience to build something that people really love and use. And
Yeah.
Elementor and Beaver and all of these other builders, they have been around for a decade.
Yeah, almost like in online yearly terms.
Yeah, so now, WordPress comes along with Gutenberg. And here's the thing with Gutenberg, from my experience, it's not only new because it's typed now, because the code is new. It's also new as a concept.
Yeah.
So you're not only debugging your code, you also have to revise the whole concept of blocks and
Yeah.
see how people interact with them and how they use them and how developers react and how end users react. Those things take time. You just can't rush it. So we'll see what happens in about a year or two.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, people who are just now coming in to WordPress, they don't know about the classic editor
They only know about
because
Gutenberg. Yeah.
they only see that. For them, that's the norm. That's the thing that I use. For us older guys, good old days when the classic editor was around. So we are obviously, anything new, you say, it doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of blocks are out there, good blocks, good developers making them. Basically, any widget that you had, like map or button
Yeah,
or
the
sign up
ecosystem
form.
is flourishing a lot, but the thing is, the Gutenberg itself is not that stable as of now. So if you
It's
see,
not.
most of these blocks are free blocks and they are not even getting into the paid model as of now. Eventually everyone will, but they realize it's not a stable, core as of now. It will take about an
No,
year.
you really have to pay attention to the changes in WordPress versions in order to accommodate for those changes in your blocks. Yeah. And with the block JavaScript infrastructure changing from the old JavaScript to new JavaScript, that's a big change for a lot of developers because they have to learn new skills. And I don't mind that, far from it. But my problem is that you have the rest of the WordPress here, and then you have Gutenberg here, and it's just two different worlds. If everything was rewritten in the new JavaScript, I would be okay with that. I would say we moved forward. But in this case, two different worlds, I'm not too happy with it. But obviously, it's the way to go forward. So I don't know, let's say in 2 years, maybe we'll rewrite the whole dashboard to use React. I don't
Yeah,
know.
you never know. So the next is, which is your recommended email marketing service in case you use one? I believe you use one because you sell a lot of products.
We used to use MailChimp. We still kind of do, but it's expensive. So at some point we switched to Octopus. It's basically a user interface that sits on top of the Amazon emailing service. So you pay a monthly fee to Octopus, plus you pay Amazon to the emails that you send out. If you don't need advanced features like tagging, A/B testing, stuff like that, Octopus is phenomenal. It really, the delivery rate is basically the same as MailChimp because Amazon is sending things. You have all of your standard, you have the list, the open rate, click rate, everything that you need. It just doesn't have all those bells and whistles that MailChimp has built over the years. So if anybody's looking to try out something a little bit less expensive, less complicated, definitely try it. It's called Octo, give me just a sec. Email Octopus. So I was close enough.
And any upcoming tool or service that has caught your attention? I, instead of Gutenberg, I guess.
Not really. Everything kind of goes in circles.
Okay, man. So before we wrap this episode, where can people find Gordon Orlich? See, I pronounced it correctly
So
this time around.
you did. So it's either webfactoryltd.com or you can check out our profile on the WordPress repository. And yeah, we have a fairly active Twitter account. We're not that active on Facebook, but on Twitter we do things and we do check it out. So if you write something, somebody will reply. I'm not that active on Facebook, but I should be. I
Maybe
will be.
from tomorrow.
Maybe from tomorrow. And we actually have a bunch of websites, mostly derived from our plugins, like the under construction page, WP Reset, Google Maps widget. But we also have other WordPress related sites like Theme Circle, which only deals with WordPress related stuff. So yeah, you can definitely find us around. We have more than a few projects.
Awesome, man. And all are WordPress-based, right?
Everything's WordPress based, yeah.
Okay, awesome. It was great talking to you.
Likewise.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.